For the first time in the auto market, foreign-owned manufacturers churned out more vehicles in the U.S. last year than the big three. That's according to a report from Autos Drive America and the American International Automobile Dealers Association. So this sort of shows this major shift in domestic auto production. Paul Eisenstein, senior contributing editor for Headlight.News, joins us now. Good morning, Paul.
Hey, good to be with you.
What does this number from last year tell you about where we're going in the future?
We've been seeing this steadily develop for, almost 40 years, certainly since I started covering the auto industry back about 1979. Those old enough to remember that period knew that as the second energy crisis hit, we started seeing the Detroit manufacturers close plants. But by the early to mid-1980s, about 1984, in fact, we started seeing some of these so-called transplants open. These are factories run by, Japanese manufacturers like Honda and then Toyota. And today, essentially any manufacturer that is competing in the U.S., other than some of the really exotic brands like, say, Aston Martin, they have had at least one plant open in the United States, and in many cases, they have multiple plants. Toyota produces, something like 70% of the vehicles they sell in the U.S. or neighboring Canada or Mexico.
Well, what does this mean for the American auto industry's future, especially in the midst of this transition to electric vehicles?
Now, that's an interesting question. We are seeing, in fact, more EV plants open in the next couple of years than we're seeing conventional vehicles. One of the good things that happened for American automotive manufacturing is the Inflation Reduction Act of a couple of years ago, because it sets a very strict minimum level of local production that manufacturers have to meet for their vehicles to qualify for the various incentives that the federal government is giving to EVs. What that means is essentially if you want to get the advantage, the sales advantage of being able to give your customers one of these incentives, you're going to have to build the vehicle in the United States or one or two neighboring countries. That said, you also have to build your batteries here, and you have to get the raw materials like lithium, cobalt, and manganese. So that's actually driving even more production in the United States. But it also means that a lot of that production will be foreign manufacturers. Hyundai, for example, is setting up in Georgia a plant specifically to build EVs, and several other manufacturers are doing the same thing.
Paul, what about this report that Ford and Michigan cut all this money and the support for the Marshall site? It seems like they're pulling back.
Yeah, we've seen Ford reduce the size of the Marshall plant. They have the capability to expand it later on, but they're trying to size their battery manufacturing to meet their anticipated sales growth over the next few years. And it makes sense. You would do that with pretty much any plant to try to make sure that you don't build something that's much larger than you expect sales to be.
And Paul, the UAW, they've been really actively pursuing unionizing these foreign-owned auto plants. Now, if they become successful, it's kind of been varying successes with that. But if they become successful, how does that impact the industry competitiveness in the U.S.?
It probably means that some of the Detroit manufacturers are not going to have as much of a cost penalty because the UAW is going to clearly bring up the price of labor for manufacturers that it does organize. That said, there's a lot of reports that overstate the impact of the cost of UAW labor. Labor as a part of the total cost of getting a car driven off the assembly line is less than 10%. You're spending a lot more money these days on things like advanced driver assistance or digital safety technology and the like. And a lot of the increase that we've seen in the price of vehicles in recent years is because people are going upscale and they're adding more content to their vehicles.
Paul, less than a minute, but we had Rod Maloney, who's covered autos forever, on our air last week. And he's like, we might be at peak car. Like, everyone has one, and it might be just like they can't produce as many because it's the peak moment. What do you think about that?
Yeah, we're seeing a shift. Even though people who are buying cars tend to be buying more expensive vehicles these days, the average American is facing more pressure. We're seeing the growth of used car sales as opposed to seeing any massive growth in new vehicles. We're approaching the old record. We might see 16 or 17 million, according to many analysts, but to see sales go up to, say, 20 million or above, nobody seems to have that in the forecast, at least not this decade.
Well, we will continue to watch it, as will you. Paul Eisenstein, Senior Contributing Editor for Headlight.News. Thank you for your time this morning.
Great to be with you.